It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the topic of conversation, has the Holy Spirit left us or have we left it? So now do you think, that being said, to refer back to my question, do you think His Spirit has left our nation? Or do you think we've left His Spirit?
Okay.
Or do you think His Spirit still resides in some ways?
Okay. This is a very broad question, and this is going to be a Picasso of many brushes.
Man, you can't paint.
So I'm going to try and do my best on this. We could break out the Bible and start reading. People may or may not want to hear all that. So let me give you a very fast overview analysis. You and Brittany committed in marriage till death do you part, right?
Mm-hmm.
You promised that you would be faithful to her and care for her, and so did she for you, till death do you part.
Mm-hmm.
Your intentions were that you would be together forever,
mm-hmm.
right? Wasn't that the idea?
Yeah,
is there, but is it still possible that something could happen, that one of you could do something that would destroy the marriage and it would throw that on the rocks, it'd dash it on the rocks?
Yeah, it's possible.
That's the quick and dirty version. Okay, so what we call a marriage covenant or contract that we make with each other, we don't understand this in our non-Christian society anymore, that marriage came from God.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is supposed to be a picture of the relationship that we have with God. He is the groom and we are the bride.
Okay.
Now, what we want to say is that there's nothing I could ever do that God would ever leave me. Say, I could be as unfaithful and tell God no all day long and God's just going to be there for me. Where did you pull that from? Well, God's love. Yes, He is. And you're supposed to be loved too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is mm-hmm. the basics of the commandments. Love God and love others, right? What you're asking is there ever a point where God says, I'm done with you?
Right.
Well, let's just quickly look back on the past. How about Genesis chapter 6? Was there a point with the creative order that He established that men polluted and destroyed, where God said, okay, reset?
Yeah, I guess there was.
That happened,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the quick and dirty is there ever a point where God said He's going to have to do it again? I think the book, so
yeah.
The first book and the last book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so right away what you're seeing is some people are punished and it results in repentance and a restored relationship. Some people are punished and it simply results in collateral damage, like as in no comeback. You're done.
Okay.
Now both happened. Both will happen.
Hmm.
So some people return, stay in covenant and in that relationship. In other words, stop doing the bad things they were doing and restore their broken relationship with God. Whereas others are going to set their face in a wicked direction and continue no matter what God does. They don't care.
So you think they're just all, I mean, almost, would you say they were made for destruction, or do you think they were just given over?
That's a whole other question.
To a depraved mind.
I don't want to get in those weeds. I want to just stay on that and let that settle in for a second. If you go back and look, the Jewish nation who received irrevocable promises according to the scriptures, God still kept every promise He ever made, but they were always contingent. The blessings, His provision and His protection, His presence was always contingent on them being obedient. Always was. By the way, it still is.
But even though there were times, you could say, metaphorically, He didn't answer, metaphorically speaking, could you really say that He never really left the Israelis, right?
No.
Like, he never left the people of Israel.
No, He did. In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 6, it even says there, my spirit will not always strive with man. In other words, the spirit of God was with men, and He left them in Genesis 6. Yeah. You're reading Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're being ruled by a pagan nation where God withdrew His protection, His presence, everything, provision. He pulled His hand back and He allowed them to be wiped out and destroyed by a pagan, wicked nation. What? Hold on a second. But He saved a remnant. There was a group of the original people, this is how He kept His promise, who did repent, who did return.
All right.
And the same is true with this revelation. What you're going to find is, with as wicked as the world will become, that He's going to destroy, and the people with it, there's going to be a remnant who will return to him, and those will be saved.
So it was almost prophesied right there in Daniel.
Oh man, it
like it was demonstrated of what will happen.
It's actually a repeating story throughout. If you think of the story of Lot, Lot was in a wicked nation, a wicked city, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And the surrounding cities. Did God abandon Lot? No, God went in and saved Lot before he destroyed the city. Now, did Lot and them hear the destruction happening behind them? Yes. In fact, they were instructed not even to turn around and look at it.
Well, didn't Lot's wife is who turned into the pillar of salt, right?
Right.
Because she looked back.
She looked back.
So what do you think they're referencing there when it says she looked back?
Well, the reference is made throughout the Bible. You're not supposed to look back. Once you've committed yourself to Christ, once you've put your hand to the plow, a farming term is used, don't look back. Move forward and plow that field.
And if you're... once again, to apply it outside of even biblical story, is if you're focused solely on the past, you are never moving forward in the future, right?
Well, think of it then this way. You just get married and you're having second thoughts. Like, oh, I like that last girlfriend.
That's not good if you're doing that.
Yeah, how's that going to go with your wife?
Not very good.
Well, but you think it's going to be good with you and God? You see, that's the game we play. We're like, God, we have these wild expectations that God's just going to be ridiculous with us, even though we would never tolerate that from anybody else.
And that's a good way to look at that.
Mm-hmm. You know what we are? We are adulterous people at heart. We are so unfaithful. And yet we want God to be faithful to us when we would never be that for him. And if that's the game you're playing with God, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And you should go back and read the opening chapters in Matthew where it says, Jesus says, Matthew 7, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say to them, I never knew you. Not like, I used to know you, but you walked away, but I never knew you. You were never my people.
Mm.
Yeah. You were playing games. So here's what I was trying to tell you is when I'm looking at the current state of the nation, our nation, America, I got to tell you, and I know everyone can echo this. I don't care what party you're a part of. I don't recognize this nation as the one I grew up in.
Oh, not even close.
And in the same way, this is a hard thing to say. I do wonder if God says the same thing about the church today.
How could he not?
This is not the church I founded. It has become so wicked and so corrupt. Again, adulterous people whose heart is far from me, who don't care about me. They just want to do the minimum in regards to being connected and obedient. They just want to skirt by. Their hearts aren't in it. They don't love me. They don't love each other. They don't see what I'm trying to do for them. Ultimately, what they're saying is, I love myself more than God. I don't think he'd recognize us. I don't know. I'm not sure he does. I wonder. Mm. Jesus asked a question that he knew the answer to. He says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Like, will there still be a believing group of people who trust him?
Man.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, man. That is deep.
Look how many less believers there are from just 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, the church is in the
car. We kind of start doing things in like a timeline thing. Obviously, nobody knows the hour of the day, right? But you can kind of see like we're headed currently in a direction that it doesn't look like it's going to take that long for there not to be that many believers remaining.
Prophecy warns that in the last days, speaking of the church, it'll be terrible times and that men will become lovers of themselves, not lovers of God, not of each other, but of themselves. Hello, look at us today.
It's never been more about self, man, with social media and
self-face. Oh, was it Facebook? Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you've got
Snapchat. Whose face are you taking a picture of? You know,
TikTok.
All of it. It's all about self. And look how great I am. Look how amazing I am. Have I told you about me yet?
Mm-hmm.
We are a nation that adorns ourselves for the first part of our day is to primp ourselves. Think about it. That's our culture.
You're not wrong. It's true. Actually, the first part of my day, though, is I pray when I get up.
Do you really?
I really do. It's the first thing I do when I get... Sometimes I get this, and I honestly feel guilty about it because I'm like, oh, that's not it. Sometimes the first thing I do when I wake up is I'll roll over and like scroll social media. And I'm like, oh, man, I didn't start my day with a prayer. That's not right.
Imagine when you first wake up, You see your wife and you ignore her. Say that was your regular routine. You just waited until some point in the day that it was convenient for you that you engage and
like, go, hey, can you get me something? Like something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like you're the first part of your conversation that you ever have with her is like, hey, can you give me?
Right. Hey, can you do something for me?
But isn't that what we pretty much do with God?
Oftentimes, I think most people do. Yeah. I really do.
And we call that a great relationship. You know, that I love God and I'm a Christian.
My personal belief is where we are at in the biblical story. I'm not going to pretend I know. I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to say I know. But I 100% am in belief that there absolutely is a spiritual battle that has taken mm-hmm. place. So I just find it personally critical to, man, you got to armor yourself up, have spiritual protection and armor to walk through your day of, you never know what you're going to see in the modern day, man.
What we've got to do is we got to stop bartering with what God has told us, what God requires, what he wants in this relationship that he's actively pursued us. And if you're a believer, at some point you're going to commit. And what's hard is we're playing the game of Lot's wife. We're looking back. We're looking back at the world. We're looking back at the things that we've left behind. Mm. And we're saying, oh, I missed that. Mm-hmm.
In some cases, we haven't yet even let it go.
Right. We're still playing that game. We're like, I don't really want to be saved. I want to stay here in this beautiful city. And that's Babylon. That's a picture of Babylon all over again.
And that's I don't think people would say they don't want to be saved.
They just want to be saved with their sin.
They don't want to let go.
Yeah.
They don't want to let go.
It's kind of like the drug addict that says, I want to be clean, but I want one more hit.
Right.
And it's always one more hit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, an endless cycle of one more hit.
So the whole thing you're talking about with Jesus coming and never knowing when it's going to happen, there's a parable about that. And the whole point of the parable is, listen, your master, your Lord, the ruler of this house is coming at a time when you won't expect him. So be about your master's business. And honestly, again, the problem that we're running into is most people are trying to play a game and hoping and betting that today won't be the day. He won't catch me being bad.
Even though he already knows what you do. Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
Well,
though.
We've been sold the. I'm sorry, we've been sold the line, and we're living in a daily practice of it. Well, all I got to do is just say I'm sorry.
I mean, I kind of think about these two systems of we can call it good versus evil, and I think everything is a mimicking of God's natural system. That's just recreated, packaged, and given to us, and in terms of things of the world. I mean, if you think about just to go to the people think, well, okay, God didn't come today, so I'm good on, you know, what I've done. You think about there's technology right in front of your face now that can see you everywhere, like an all-seeing eye.
Yeah, they can look through your house with this radar stuff.
So I'm saying if they can show you that,
yeah,
that they can do that, they have that, it's available, it's on all of us. What's that? That's a mimic of God. God sees all. That's what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, not just physically what you're doing, but actually read your thoughts and your intentions of your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, he knows all of that. You're not going to dupe God on this.
Absolutely not.
What's that saying? God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
You should process that. Think about the farming analogy. I know we're not farmers, a lot of us today. You know, we think that food just grows in a grocery store. If you plant corn seeds, should you expect to get orange trees? Right?
Probably not.
Right? No. If you're sowing evil and wickedness in your life, you think you're going to have righteous rewards?
Mm. I mean, maybe in the, sometimes in a falsity there, though, you are doing evil and you are rewarded for it in the short term.
You are going to harvest what you planted. And the same is true when Christ comes and returns and judges his people, your rewards or your punishment will be in accordance to what you have planted, to what you have done.
Mm. Plus you have the, in the example I just gave, I kind of feel like I said, in the short term, you may see success.
Yeah.
But it seems like if you didn't climb up that ladder in a, how do I say, a just way, it has a way of somehow coming down on you eventually.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's okay.
Because your foundation's not solid.
Back to the trash analogy. Enough times your kids miss taking out the trash, not only will your house stink, not only will the trash build up in your house and the living conditions decline, there comes a point where you've created a hazard for your family. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with our sin. Take the trash to the curb. It's always been for your benefit. It's in your best interest. The problem that we're running into is we're lazy and we love the trash.
Mm.
That's really the issue.
Yeah.
We love the trash more than we love God. In other words, we're in a relationship that we're really not committed to. And I think that's the big problem with the American church. We want a good fit. We're treating God like an occasional drink at the Friday night bar.
Sure.
We just want a little fix. We just want a little hit of Jesus to mm-hmm. see me through to next week.
That makes total sense. I think, I know that I've certainly been guilty of that. I guess what would you say is how do we work on getting through that process of actually finishing the job of carrying the trash to the curb?
Stop looking back. Stop entertaining the past.
Mm.
And live in the promises of what is coming in the future and already try and be there. Like, for example, when you know you got company coming over, you clean the house, don't you?
Sure.
Because you're looking forward to the time that company's coming, and you don't want unfinished projects, you don't want tripping hazards, and you want the house to be clean and nice and ready. And
yeah, presentable.
Mm-hmm. You know, why are we not doing the same thing with ourselves, with him? We know he's coming.
You're right. And we fall short on that.
Intentionally so. Again, because we're looking for what's the least that I have to do to satisfy my conscience, to make me believe, to delude myself, deceive myself, that I am in good standing with him doing what he said.
So now, do you think that's a case or an example of the Holy Spirit leaving someone? Or
oh, man. Okay.
Them leaving the Holy Spirit?
Jesus, John 14 or 15. Let me look real fast. It's John 15. And here's what Jesus is telling his disciples. Look, he says, if you remain in me, he's the vine, we're the branches. Another one of those analogies of is it called horticulture, where you cut off a branch from one tree and transplant to another tree? Well, we've been, as Christians, grafted into the Israel-Jewish tree, that olive tree.
Okay.
And that's, we've been brought in. And the picture here is of that. We've been brought in and supplanted as a part of this tree. And Jesus is saying to us, if you remain a part of this tree, if you remain a part of this vine, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. Now, how does Jesus live in us?
Through the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. But then he says in John 15, 6, but if you do not abide in him, you'll be thrown away. Those branches are going to dry up. He's going to gather them and throw them into the fire and they will be burned. Guess what that picture is a picture of? It's hell. He's very clear. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. And he says this, but if you do not, in other words, if you leave this vine, if you leave this olive tree, is another illustration later.
Okay.
If you leave this tree, which you've been grafted into, I'll leave you.
So it's always, in essence,
it's always been
your
conditional.
Free will choice first that makes the move to cause the resulting action.
Brittany says to you, I will be faithful to you if you'll be faithful to me. But that also means something else. If you're not going to be faithful to me, then I'm not going to stay with you.
Hmm.
And we want to say, well, God would never do that. Really? Read your Bible again? I'm telling you, we're playing games with God. And there's going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day who are shocked when Jesus says that many won't be saved. Why is that? Well, it's the same thing with Noah and the ark. How many were saved on the ark? How many were saved from Sodom and Gomorrah?
Not many.
No. Many are called, few are chosen. You better figure out what that means. And all these games people are playing where you're just trying to get your Jesus fix for an hour on Sunday. When you finally go, some of you just go at Easter time, you know, Christmas and Easter. Look, I'm telling you, people, you're playing games and you're not winning. The house always wins, right? In the gambling, you're gambling.
And whose house are we in?
Exactly.
Right,
either you are his house or you're not. And I get it. You got your Bible and you got your little cross on your neck and clinging to your baptismal certificate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A certificate?
You know, those man-made traditions. I got that. That's my pass into heaven, man. That's my, you know.
Hey, can I get this stamp?
Yeah, man. That's all I got to do is show them at the front gate. Hey, look, I got it right here, man. I'm good.
Mm.
There's going to be a lot of shocked people. I'm just being straight with you.
Do you think there's, when it says a remnant, how big can a remnant be?
A remnant is certainly less than what it started with. Let's just say that first.
But if you look back through all of time, it's always been less than it
started
with,
right? It's never been
right?
more. It's never been more.
But I mean, even just there's less than what we started with.
What I mean is, in the aggregate of the largest number of people who identify as Israel or the church, it won't be the full scope. It's going to be less.
Okay.
And usually it's a lot less. Again, using a farming analogy, think of seeds. When you're trying to, back before GMO, when you were going to think about you're going to plant some seed for next year, well, you can go buy seed again, or you can pull back some of the seed from this year's harvest and use it for next year.
Sure. Makes sense.
When Jesus told you the two greatest commandments, which surmises the entire law, love God, love others. You are not acting in love when you are actively disobeying what he's told you to do. You're not loving God when you're living in known intentional unfaithfulness. That's not love.
Something that we all could probably work on is the first and foremost acknowledgement that this battle, so even earlier when I said spiritual battle, people always, due to the fact that they use their eyes for everything, look outward for answers. When looking inward, I really feel like is where it all begins, because the spiritual battle starts in your mind.
Oh gosh, yes. And your heart.
So, right. So if you're not in, depending on who you're in tune with, if that's low vibrational frequency or high vibrational frequency, meaning, you know, like good and evil, Jesus and the devil, I think the battle begins as such, right? From that point of view, either you're in a uniform of the devil or you're in a uniform for Jesus.
Again, another subject that we don't like to broach today because it makes us feel icky. But there's a ruler of this world, and he is absolutely in charge, and he's running everything. And he will tell you every bit, every day, all day long, hey, look, it's okay. You can do this, and God doesn't care. It's fine. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. You can always get forgiveness. And then he leads you down the junky road.
To where you get to a point, you're not even honestly asking for forgiveness.
Not anymore. Yeah, you're just enjoying
having it. It's okay to you. You've accepted it as what you should do.
Have another hit, and it's called self-deception. You're deceiving yourself. So it's no longer the devil deceiving you. You have not only bought the lie, you're promoting it.
Stop, that is deceptive.
Stop looking back. Commit. Fall in love with him. What does it say in Revelation? You have forsaken your first love. Return.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.